continuing for the second of 3 days to discuss the laws of bowing down, specifically in the Shmona Esrei, but in turn that could be learned out to other aspects, other times we bow down during the davening. Gemara tells us, as we mentioned before, why 18? Why do we have 18 paragraphs, or at least why were there 18 paragraphs in the Shmona Esrei? And we discussed a couple of the answers. Either it mentions Hashem's name 18 times in the Shema, or based on the pasuk in the paragraph of Havu LaHashem Bnei Elim, which we recite when we put away the Torah on Shabbos, also has Hashem's name 18 times. Gemara tells us a third explanation. Amar Rav Tanchon, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Keneged Shmona Esrei Chulio Shebesedra, the 18 vertebrae which are found in the backbone. And then the Gemara asks, well, what do you mean there's 18? We know that there's the extra paragraph which was instituted later on in Yavne, paragraph of Lamashinim against the heretics. So there's only 19. So the Gemara gave other answers. When it came to those explanations, there's really the word Echad in the Shema correspond to Hashem, which is number 19. Also in the paragraph of Havu LaHashem B'nei Elim, it does say Kel HaKavod Hirim, so that's another name of Hashem, which would be 19. And then the Gemara says, how about the vertebrae explanation? Omer Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Kenegin Chuya Katana Shebeshedra. There's not 18, there's really a smaller vertebrae, a smaller bone, if you will, number 19. So you can look at that Gemara and you can ask a few questions. The first question is, what, all of a sudden, because we instituted another paragraph in the Shmona Esrei, miraculously we had an extra vertebrae in our backbone? Do we have 18 or do we have 19? Furthermore, assuming that the human structure, persons, is the same now as it was before, we know there are not 18 vertebrae or 19. In fact, there are 33. So what is it? What do you mean 19? So one explanation we can have, if you actually look and study a little bit about the vertebrae, there's actually four regions. And the four are the top by the head is the cervical region. And then the second area, one of the ways it's called is the dorsal vertebrae. Followed by lower extremity, you have the lumbar, and then finally the pelvic. So it tells us, This is a scientific fact, that the top, the cervical, there's actually 7 vertebrae. And then the next, which corresponds to a lot of one's vertebrae, which is the part which is called the dorsal vertebrae, there's 12. So the first two regions, the top two regions, there's actually 7 and 12, which is 19. So the question is, again, you can ask, well, 19 now, there was 18 before, what happened? So it says, I'm just going to read this one sentence, the number is sometimes increased by an additional vertebrae in one region, or it may be diminished in one region, the deficiency often being supplied by an additional vertebrae in another. So it's very possible that there was 18 for some, 19 for others, and therefore that's one possible way you can explain this Gemara. But we see a tremendous connection between bowing down and the reason why we have the amount of paragraphs. So bowing down, which obviously needs a little bit of work and discussion, the significance of what Shmona Esrei is corresponds very much to us bowing down to Hashem. So if we understand, as we did a little bit yesterday, why we bow down and what it really means, that's really what the Shmona Esrei should mean. One of the meanings, the messages of the Shmona Esrei. The Gemara discusses in the first chapter in the same Masechet, in Brachos, exactly how a person is supposed to bow down. Rav Sheshet says that when a person bows down and when a person gets up from bowing, it's supposed to be done in very different ways. Ki kara, kara kechizra. When a person bows down, you're supposed to bow down. Kechizra is like a stick, which means in one straight motion, in a quick straight motion. And when a person gets up, ki kazokif, zokif kechiyah. When a person gets up, you're supposed to get up like kechiyah is a nachash, like a serpent, like a snake. And the Rashi explains that just like a serpent, it moves its head and it moves then back. It's the same way a person gets up. You're not supposed to get up quickly because it shows a lack of interest in you wanting to remain bowed down. And it shows not the proper way, the significance of why one bows. So we mentioned yesterday the story of a person who was in a study hall. His name was Rav Acha bar Yaakov, and there was this demon, this destructive force, which had seven heads, and it was actually like that of a serpent. And every time he bowed down, it says that one of the heads was gone. So we see, again, the interesting connection between the snake, which is the opposite of what bowing down is. And we discussed that's the connection of gaiva and anivus. Being humble, which is the idea of bowing down, destroys the nachash, the serpent, or the Yetzer Hara, which represents the haughtiness of a person. And it's brought down in the Sefer called the Beis Yosef, which quotes another interesting Gemara. Tells us in the tractate Baba Kama, it says the shenro shel adam, the spine of a person, la'achar zayin shanim shenikvar, after 7 years, after a person has been buried, that backbone nasa nachash becomes a serpent, becomes a snake. Now we're going to see maybe that doesn't literally mean that, but the Talmud continues and says v'hani mili delo kar b'modim. It only occurs, this phenomena of this bone, the vertebrae, the backbone turning into a snake, if you do not bow down. And what's the significance of this? Says the brought down the Sefer Beis Yosef, it appears to me, shehu mida kenegan mida. It's measure for measure. What's the ex post facto over here? What's the business that's quid pro quo? Lefi sheish lo la'ar lichro b'modim. We mentioned that when you bow down, when you bend, get up, it's supposed to be like a snake in some way when you get up. Therefore, since you did not do this, it in turn becomes a snake. So your backbone, which it's supposed to act like the like that which a snake does, by bowing down, it removes this idea of it turning into a snake. But the idea behind this is not just it magically turns into a nachash, like the story of Mitzrayim and Moshe, but what it means is the idea of haughtiness and humility. A person bows down during Modim and during the Shemona Esrei, they're acknowledging the fact that Hashem is over them, that they have a master, and that they're considered to be as servants. And that's the reason why the Shemona Esrei is called the Avoda, because that's what we're doing. We're acting as an Eved, as a servant in front of one's master. So by bowing down, which is the idea of Shemona Esrei, that we're showing that there's something above us, someone that is our something which is our master that reigns over us, this is a way to rid the nachash, the haughtiness within a person. Just for another moment, just going to see in Halacha, it says that Hamispalel Sarach Shiichra Ad Shiis Pavuku Kol Chulio Shemeshedra. When a person bows down, it's not just supposed to be a little bow, but it's supposed to be in such a way that you're bowing down that it's protruding the vertebrae of one in one's backbone. Vlo Yichra B'Emsa Masna B'Roshu Yishar Zalkuf. And you should not bow down in a way that only your back is moving, but your head remains straight, that you're not bending down your head. Elgam rosho yakov. Also, your head should be bowed down, which is interesting if you would want to learn that the two upper regions correspond to the 19, the 7 and the 12 respectively. The cervical, which is the head, that's the significance also that you have to bow down the head because that's part of the 19. And then the Mechaber continues and says, "V'im hu zaken o chole." What if a person is elderly? Person is sick. And ve'ena yochel lishchos. It's too difficult to bow down in such a way. Kivan, just as long shehishvil rosho dayo. Just as long as you move your head in a way which shows as though you're bowing, that's sufficient. You really want to bow down, but it's too difficult for you to do so, therefore that's sufficient. Now, how exactly should a person bow down? At what point of the bracha? As we mentioned in the Talmud, you have to bow down at first, quickly, one motion. When you're zokev, zokev banachas. You're supposed to get up in not such a fast motion. Like first, just like the serpent, first the head and then the rest of the body. Should not look like a burden. And then the Mechaber says, when you bow down or when you bend the knees, you're supposed to bow at that point by the word Baruch. And then afterwards, atah, you continue to bow down, but you should not remain bowed down for the entire bracha. Rather, kshizokev, zokev b'shem. You should already be straightened up before you say Hashem's name because of the pasuk of Hashem, zokev kafufim. Hashem straightens up the bent. And therefore, we should already be straight to show that Hashem has that ability to straighten up the bent. In conclusion, the Mishnah Berurah tells us, kshomer baruch yichor b'bir kav. Again, when a person gets to the word baruch, you only bend the knees. Kshomer atah, when you get to the second word of the bracha, atah. Yishcha, then that's when you bow down until the backbone literally protrudes if a person is able to do so. Now, how about modim, where there's no word baruch? And there's no word atah. How does a person bow when it comes to modin? Says Mishnah Berurah, Yichra rosho v'gufo bevas achas. A person would bow down in a different way, that they would, at the word modin, bend the knees and bow down at the same moment. But again, before we get to the word Hashem, because of the pasuk Hashem zokev kafufim, we straighten ourselves out. Got it.